gentlemen, your attention, please.
Pete, can I tell you something? You're nuts.
Mr. President, do we have to listen to any more of this?
What's up, Pete?
I'm Chance the Rapper, and it is so great to be back here at SNL. If you don't remember, last time I was here, I gave $1 million to Chicago Public Schools. And I'm happy to say it completely fixed everything.
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm here until 3 o'clock when Hamp and OB with Kaz take over from 3 to 5:30 today with the post game. I got to tell you, our Bears just look terrible offensively. I can't wait to listen to that post game show. I got to be honest, I walked in the conference room. Schwani, how are you, buddy?
Good to see you, Pete. Doing well, thanks.
I walked in the conference room. I'm afraid of OB. Hamp, I've known forever. OB, I feel like I can just snap at any second. And
he's a gentleman. He's always been very nice to me.
Oh, he's a super nice guy, but man, he gets so heated.
He's very passionate about
the Bears.
This, yes.
We can't move the ball today. It's just terrible. We got to cut our losses and get a quarterback after this season. He's throwing behind receivers. We have two field goals with a missed field goal. Six zip. Wow.
And what, 4 minutes or so to go in the second quarter here?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to check in with the Bears insider, Adam Hoge, at halftime. Curtis is behind the glass today. You're a Bears fan. We're watching together.
Yeah.
It's pathetic.
It's very pathetic.
Wow. Just rough
stuff.
I can't
run the ball. I can't pass the ball.
Am I the only one here at the station that gives money to the Chicago Bears? I'm a season ticket holder, Section 251.
I gave some money to the Bears this season. I went to a game. I went to the Vikings game earlier this
But every year I give money to the Bears, a lot of money.
Haven't done it myself. A friend of mine had a line on preseason tickets a few years ago, so we went and had a good time watching preseason football. But
they don't play
I haven't
the starters.
Given money to the Bears in a long, long. You know how long it's been, Pete? I was fortunate to get to see Walter Payton play.
Oh, wow.
So that was when I was giving money to the Bears.
Good for you.
That was a legendary time, as we all know.
I wonder how many rushes we have today. I guess we'll find out from Adam. We only had seven last week on Walter Payton Day, Bobblehead Day. Halloween costumes. Anybody dressing up on Thursday? I'm going to be dressing up.
No, not this
year. I'll just be dressing.
Adults don't like to dress for Halloween unless they're invited to a party.
A big party.
Yes. And Thursday and Friday.
And it gets expensive.
It's going to be interesting because I know of two parties on Friday, the day after Halloween. Can you still get into it? I don't know. I don't know if you can or not. If you can still get into Halloween
the
day after.
The majority of the parties were happening this past weekend. Yesterday and Friday.
A lot of people didn't show up last night because of that monsoon. And, Schwani, did I hear you say that there was still a flood warning?
Yes, we have a flood warning really until 7 o'clock tonight.
Wow.
For, let's see, this goes for Cook County. They've extended it now. The flood warning goes until 10:45 for Cook County, and then there are some flood warnings that run until further notice for people in Kane and McHenry counties, and 8 o'clock tomorrow night for Grundy County, 8:30 Wednesday for LaSalle County. So depending on where you are, there is a flood warning. It just depends on when it's going to end. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon for Will County. So with that rain we had yesterday,
it was terrible. How miserable was yesterday?
Yeah, we dodged the raindrops when we were on the Alzheimer's walk yesterday morning.
You know, I was wondering about that. So was the rain done by the time you guys were done?
Well, the rain started afterward. We were done by noon.
Okay.
We started at 10 and did the walk, and we were done by noon.
Awesome.
And then the rain started around, I'd say, 1:30, 2 o'clock, and got worse as the afternoon went on. And, geez, in the evening, last night, when I went to bed, it was just torrential out there.
I went out last night, and I'm not kidding. From getting out of the car and opening my umbrella, my entire jacket drenched. The whole thing. You walk in the restaurant, you're drenched, your umbrella's drenched, and you're just a soaking mess.
And how about the wind?
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah.
I mowed my lawn and raked yesterday, and there's tons of leaves on my
lawn
again.
You must have been out early then doing it.
I was. Yeah. I did it yesterday, I want to say about 10:30 in the morning, right before the rain, and now there's leaves all over the place, and they're wet. there's nothing worse than wet leaves. Oh, man. It's been a crazy weekend.
Well, you have to pick them up now.
By the way, the Bears are now losing 7-6. The Chargers just scored.
Just scored a touchdown and a field goal.
Curtis, is it the two-minute warning?
They haven't shown it yet, but I think it's just about the two-minute warning. You're talking about the Bears' rushing yards?
Yeah.
They have 38.
38.
Total.
Well, it's better than last week.
That counts the minus one for Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, gosh. It's pathetic. This is terrible, guys. By the way, the Chargers are what, 2-5?
Correct.
Yeah. This is a bad team we're playing.
Yeah, I think Andy was talking about offenses being bad on both teams today.
They're just about to hit the two-minute warning.
Eddie O is going to join us at 2:05 today. Eddie O has a book signing this afternoon. He is a cancer survivor, and we're going to talk to him. Love Eddie O. Very motivational. I can't imagine what this book is going to say.
It's also Hockey Fights Cancer Night at the United Center, and he's having that, I think it's like a pink carpet sort of thing tonight, where he's
pink or purple?
Yeah, something like that, but he's having people who've also had colon cancer or some form of cancer come through, and he's going to autograph the book and give out copies to a select, and I think the proceeds of that are going to Blackhawks charities and stuff, too. And that's all right before tonight's game against the Kings.
Hold on a second. I have it right here. Challenged Friday. Hold on a second. Give me
just past the two-minute warning.
It is the annual purple carpet.
There you go.
Purple carpet. Isn't he the cancer ambassador now for the NHL,
yes.
I want to say?
Yep.
Wow. That's pretty big. It's interesting how something can define your life now. He was known as this great hockey analyst, you know, this player that won a Stanley Cup with the Rangers in, what was it, 94? And now he is the cancer ambassador for the second half of his life. So we'll talk to Eddie at 2:05. All right. Let me take a quick break. And at halftime, we're going to talk to Adam Hoge. It's 7:20. WGN.
Working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise...
Coming up, we're going to talk to Adam Hoge live from Soldier Field at halftime. Halloween Thursday, are you going to be dressing up your pet this year for Halloween? Americans spend almost $500 million on Halloween costumes for their pets. What? Really?
Yeah. I have a friend who was Cruella de Vil, and she has a corgi. And she made her corgi one of the 101 Dalmatians.
The average what we're going to spend is about $20 on average for our pets. The top pet costumes this year? The dog lion mane. This is my favorite. The UPS pet costume. Your dog dressed as a UPS delivery driver. Because they usually chase the UPS driver. Uh-huh. Do you have a pooch?
I do, yeah.
What kind?
German Shepherd.
German Shepherd. Do you dress up your dog?
She doesn't like to wear anything. The only thing she'll wear is about a bandana, and that's really it.
Well, that's it?
Yeah.
I want to say our dog Wrigley, Labradoodle. I think when he was a puppy, my wife tried to dress him up as a cow, and it did not work. Superman cape with chest piece for the top pet costumes this year. Dog dinosaur costume, the peacock dog costume. Those are your top five. A few more: a pumpkin, a hot dog. Hot dog would be funny.
Hot dog is, yeah, that'd be really funny.
But does the dog really want to walk around with the bun in the whole deal?
I don't know. They're dogs. They like to be happy walking around.
Bumblebee, a witch, a devil, and a shark. The shark fin on the back of your dog. Sometimes my dog looks at me like, what are you doing? Are you really that dumb?
That'd be perfect if your dog's name was Jaws.
I mean, does your dog give you that look from time to time? Like when I was leaving today for the radio station. He looked at me, he's like, what are you doing? We got to go outside. The sun's out. And you have this tremendous amount of guilt. the guilt from your pet when you leave.
Well, didn't you have a thing a few days ago that you were saying, do you tell your dog goodbye when you're leaving the house or whatever?
Posted that on Facebook. We talked about it the other day. Do you say goodbye to your dog when you leave the house?
I do.
And what do you say?
I say, I'll be right back.
Does your dog understand that?
Well, when you consistently say it, I think they do.
Are you sure about that?
I think so.
I don't know if they really understand. They're like, does it upset them even more? And do they know how long you're gone?
I think it depends on the dog. Like, if you have like a smaller dog, I think that might bother them. I know my dog, you'll say, you'll be right back, and she'll take the treat and go walk into her bed and lay down, and when you come back, she's sitting at the door wagging her tail waiting for you.
How big is your German Shepherd?
She's about 85, 90-ish pounds.
Gosh, that's a big dog.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you leave, do you give the dog a treat?
Yeah. Usually just leave it like right by her bed, and she'll take it and go lay down, and she'll hang out. She's chill when we're away from the house.
We spoil our pets, man.
Yeah.
Why do they get a treat for everything? Hey, you just went for a walk. You went outside and went to the bathroom. Like, come here, let me give you a treat. Good job.
Part of it's a reward, because I don't think when you take them outside, you don't want them to go in the house.
Right, I get that.
You know?
Yeah. But they get rewarded for everything.
But I think also, like, when you're leaving your house, you give them a treat, because it's part of it's, like, your own guilt.
Yes.
You're leaving your dog behind, and
right.
They're home alone, and...
There was a time we had to put our dog on a diet. My wife was overfeeding our dog, and then I was overfeeding our dog, which I didn't know at the time, because you do the scoop thing with the food, and I thought it was two scoops, it was only one. So I gave him an extra scoop. So you ever put your dog on a diet? 90 pounds. You got to start thinking about that.
Well, for German Shepherds, those are usually a little bit more thinner. I know we've had a German Shepherd in the past that was about 105, 110 pounds.
Gosh, man. And where does that dog sleep? In somebody's bed?
On her own bed on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of dogs sleep in human beds.
I'm the only one in the
beds.
House that allows the dog to come up on my bed.
Really?
Yeah. My sister has a guinea pig in her room, so the dog's not allowed in
there. A guinea pig?
Yeah.
You guys have some, you know, small farm animals there.
Yeah, that's what
a 100-pound dog and a guinea pig.
Suburbs.
The guinea pig just kind of sits there, looks cute, and that's about it.
Yeah, but the
doesn't
dog
do
the
much.
Dog wants to
eat it.
Be friends, yeah, and eat it, I guess. Have it as a little snack. So you have to kind of keep it out of the bedroom.
Never had a guinea pig. I come from a very large family. My mom hates dogs. Well, she doesn't hate dogs. She just didn't need another pet because she would take care of it. When our family voted on getting a dog, I'm like, guys, maybe we should wait because I feel like I'm going to be the one taking care of our dog. No, we're going to walk it. We'll do everything, even in the winter. No way. I'm the guy who had to get up this morning at 6:30 to take the dog out, take him for a walk. Me. Who gets up during the week on school days? Me. I'm the guy. Who's got to run home sometimes during lunch, walk the pooch? Me. You're looking at him. This is my dog. But you think that he would love me? He loves everybody else. I'm the bottom of the rung. It's terrible. It drives me nuts. I got to tell you, man, it's tough being a dad. It really is.
A dog dad?
It's tough being a dog dad because you get no respect. You do all the work. That damn dog.
And you know what they leave behind? Just lots of hair.
Yeah.
You have a bigger dog, like a German Shepherd or a Husky or a Golden Retriever, lots of hair. Especially during this time of year or in the spring, just shedding like crazy.
I wonder why I'm allergic to dogs. That was another reason. I'm allergic
I didn't know that.
I'm allergic to cats like crazy. Dogs, I'm allergic when they have really long hair.
When I was first born, my parents had four cats and a dog.
Oh, God.
And they kind of found out that I was becoming more, I was allergic to cats because of all the cat hair and the dander and stuff. I'm not like severely allergic to cats, but if there's a lot of cats or a lot of cat hair, I get like watery eyes and runny nose and stuff.
Oh my gosh, my eyes itch like crazy. If there's someone at the radio station that has a cat and touches the door and I touch the door and then touch my face will get red. My eyes will just start tearing up. It's terrible. Not a cat guy.
I get seasonal allergies too, which also is worse on top of that. Like every transition between seasons.
Please tell me that your parents got rid of all the cats.
Oh yeah, they did.
So you have a 110-pound dog. I'm sorry, a 90-pound dog?
Now we have, yeah, when I was born though, they had four cats and they got rid of them
right.
When they moved out of their first home.
You have a dog that's 90 pounds, which is a small human.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Do you have to take that dog for walks?
My mom handles all of that. She takes it for a walk.
Poor woman.
But I take the dog out.
How often?
I take her out pretty often.
I think I wish my 14-year-old son would walk our dog. It's like Charlie, when you get home, take out Wrigley. You got to take him down the street. He opens the back door, he does his business, and he comes back in.
Yeah.
It's like pulling teeth, man. Drives me nuts. All right. The Bears are losing 7-6, 25 seconds left. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll talk to Adam Hoge. All right? It's 720 WGN.
It's coming, and the throw is intercepted by Kyle Fuller, and he's looking to get to the end zone, but he's run out of bounds inside the five, and that was something we saw for the Chicago team many, many, many times a year ago.
WGN in studio with us. You can catch him on the post-game show after the game from 3 to 5:30. It's Hamp and OB. I got to tell you, guys, just calm down. I got blood pressure medicine here. I mean, I don't understand what's going on with our offense. It's non-existent, OB.
Well, it's never been existent. It never has been. Since under John Fox, it wasn't. You can go back year to year, decade to decade, it just doesn't happen since 85. And I'll tell you what, it all came down. When the Bears hired this guy Pace from New Orleans as our general manager, I knew that was a mistake, and that's not second-guessing because I said it bing-bang right when that happened. And then when they hired Nagy, that was a worse hire than hiring Pace. And what you're seeing right now, we have a quarterback. We're in a third position 3 years ago to draft a quarterback, and there were two bona fide players, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, quarterbacks, okay? We gave up an entire draft to move from third to second, basically the entire draft, to pick a kid who played 1 year, 13 games, and played the prior 2 years behind a quarterback who never even got drafted in the NFL, and this idiot we got for a general manager moves up from third to second and gives up a draft to pass this kid, and you know what the rap on him was? He's not an accurate passer. So this genius Pace we have, and then he hires Nagy as our coach, and guess what you get? You're looking at it right now.
We're watching
booze.
It.
It's not a red zone offense. It's a dead zone offense. Guys, here's the part. I think it's high time Nagy gets rid of the visor and puts a hat on. It's obvious that his brains are leaking out of the bald head. It's time he starts using, you know, the rules of the game. Throw the ball in the end zone. You were in there beating the table, OB, but you couldn't be any more correct.
Unreal.
We had 8 plays inside the 5-yard line. We don't throw one pass into the end zone.
Not
an actual play.
Not one,
you know,
pass.
Okay.
I mean,
we're watching the dance of idiots out here. And the only reason we're in this game is San Diego is as bad as we are.
Right.
And if the Packers were playing either one of these teams, they'd be up 28-0. So what does that tell you? We've got a lot of work to do. And, you know, the season's what? Close to half over. And we still got a team that's stumble bum, a clown show, and we almost didn't get the ball killed at the end of the half to get a field goal. And think about this, 4 trips in the red zone, 3 field goals. It's not acceptable on a high school level.
We don't, for some reason, we don't try to score touchdowns. I mean, you can go back, if somebody gets the stats for you, you can go back the prior, 5-6 games or whatever it's been?
Right.
We don't score touchdowns.
We don't.
And you could take it all the way back to last year. We have a playoff game at home last year against the Eagles in our own ballpark. Everything going for us. And we score 1 touchdown with less, about a minute to go in the game? We never try to go in the end zone. And for us to play this team who's 2-5, and again we're at home, and you're down, it's 1st and goal to go from the 6, 1st and goal to go from the 4, and you don't one time try to get the ball into the end zone, yeah, throw the ball. There's 2, 3, 4 receivers, 5 receivers. You don't even make an attempt to score
terrible.
A touchdown, and you're the head coach, Nagy, and Mitch Trubisky. It's well, you hear the booze,
but it's
like you can't make sense of this.
It's terrible,
it's beyond terrible.
They need
terrible.
To put a tent over the stadium. It's a clown show. It's from top to bottom. Here's one last thing.
Okay,
that I'm getting back to watch this horror movie. The reason they don't throw it in the end zone, I mean, okay, why don't they? Because they know they are not prepared to do it. The quarterback's incapable of having confidence to make that throw, and then coach knows it. That's why they don't do it.
Dan, that's, I'll tell you what you talk, that's a little scary.
He just walked out of the studio.
And I know the big man's right, but I'll tell you what, that's this is becoming a joke, and I don't know. The fans, if they lose this game today,
it's
in the
be
second
bad.
Half.
It's going to be bad.
Woo!
I know. Thank you, OB.
Bye-bye.
We'll be listening at 3 o'clock. On the phone with us live from Soldier Field is Adam Hoag, Bears insider. Adam, give me your thoughts on the first half.
Well, it's awful offensively. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, they covered it, 4 red zone possessions, 9 points, and then as if, everything else is going wrong. Now kicking's a problem, apparently, because you have a missed field goal doink off the right upright in there, too. So 9 points on 4 red zone possessions. That's how you lose football games. And I can go even further. The Bears have had 11 plays inside the 10-yard line so far in this game that have accumulated a total of 3 yards.
It's terrible.
11 plays, 3 yards in this last sequence they had right before halftime. The Chargers gave them 2 penalties. So it was like having 3 red zone possessions in one, and they couldn't get the ball in the end zone. There's a lot of gimmickry going on. They're throwing the ball short of the end zone, which I always hate. They're not running the ball. It's hard to explain what's going on.
David Montgomery had a nice run in the first half. I felt like he's been lacking confidence because he's had no playing time. How is he doing so far, in your opinion?
Well, when they line him up in the backfield and they give him, actual power blocking with a fullback, he's been doing great. First play of the game, 10 yards with a fullback, 55-yard run. I have to go back and look at it again to see if there's a fullback on that play, but it was a power run formation. I think Trubisky was under center. Again, I have to go back and look, but that's another thing. Trubisky under center, not in the shotgun.
Yeah.
When they do this and they hand it off, he's been good. 55-yard run. Just barely got caught from behind. The Bears have had 3 moments in this game. Kyle Fuller's interception, where he just barely got tackled before scoring. Tariq Cohen had a punt return. He almost blocked him. He just barely got clipped from behind. And David Montgomery got caught from behind. Those are 3 explosive plays that could have been touchdowns, and the Chargers just barely brought him down. They've been field goals for the Bears instead of touchdowns.
9-7. Adam Hoag, thanks for coming on. Started the second half. I know you got to run.
Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, brother. All right. Wow. I mean, it's just pathetic. This is just bad. I got to tell you, I've never been on the radio with OB before. I've talked to him in person, but I thought he was going to just punch me in the face. I was genuinely afraid of him.
I am so excited. That was a perfect little taste of what I'm looking forward to at 3 o'clock.
I just don't understand it. These are 2 guys that played the game. They understand it. They see it differently than us. The Bears aren't a good team. Our offense is horrendous. We do not have a good quarterback. I think you got to cut your losses and find a quarterback in the offseason. You have to.
I think you have to because you have this really good defense for, the next few years while you have them all intact with Fuller and Amukamara and Mack and Hicks.
Right. Where's number 52 been this season? I know he's double-teamed today, and he's usually double-teamed, but
in like 3 weeks or something.
Khalil Mack, man, he's got to step it up. He's got to do something. I don't know. This is rough. We got Hamp and OB with Kaz coming up 3 to 5:30 today with the post game. Wow. I mean, these guys are wound up. By the way, the score is 9-7, started the second half. Okay. Quick break. We're going to talk Halloween with Cortland from Chicago Costume at 720 WGN.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise...
720 WGN Thursday is Halloween. There's going to be parties on Thursday. There's going to be parties on Friday. I am going to a Halloween party with my son and my wife where everyone has to dress up. So what are you going to wear? If you need a costume, you want to know the top costumes this year? We're going to run through a few of these. What do you think number one is? I mean, think about the number one movie at the box office right now. What do you think the number one costume is that everybody wants? Okay? You thinking? The Joker. Of course it's going to be the Joker. You don't have to go out and buy it if you don't want to. You can actually just wear... Well, I guess a lot of people aren't wearing... Or they don't have a red suit in their closet. But if you do have a red suit, all you have to do is grab an orange vest or wear something orange underneath and put some clown makeup on, and you're the Joker. Okay? Joker, the broken doll Halloween costume is on the list. This just looks like a doll costume, just in black and white. And if you're putting the white makeup on your face, okay? All right. The Venom costume, also in the top 10 Halloween costumes this year. This is one of my favorites, the Fat Thor costume. Think about Thor, okay? Think about Thor, Fat Thor, yeah. Think about Thor and Thor with a gut. Of course, you'd have to wear the long hair and the beard, but another great one. The Fat Thor, I think I could pull off. You have the pajama bottom pants, the sweatshirt, and just kind of a cape type thing that goes over it. Curtis, are you Fat Thor? Would you do that? Fat Thor costume?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Marvel series and Avengers, so I would do it. That'd be fun.
The Money Heist costume, also on the list. It's just a red hoodie. These are easy. Alien abduction costume. It's one of those blow-up things where your legs go in back and they have the small legs in front, so it looks like you're being carried by an alien, if that makes sense. The Scoops Ahoy costume. I don't think I could get away with that. Scoops Ahoy. What's the best costume you've ever had?
I was a Blue Man Group guy one year.
How do you do that?
I had a black long sleeve shirt that said Blue Man Group on it, and got a bald mask and put the bald mask on, and then painted my face all blue. My mom assisted on that, painted the bald cap and my whole head blue, and then I had blue doctor's gloves, so I don't have to put blue on the paint on my hands.
How did you drink and eat that year?
That was difficult.
That's rough stuff. Anytime you're wearing a mask or have paint on, I feel like it's going to come off.
My mom put it so it wasn't like on my actual lips. It was kind of like just borderline around it.
Okay. Couldn't you do blue lipstick?
If we had blue lipstick. I didn't have any blue lipstick.
Okay.
But I also wanted, of course, I was much younger and I wanted to eat the Halloween candy, so I didn't want any lipstick on and ruin the taste of the candy. So, but yeah, that was probably my favorite costume one year, was going as a Blue Man Group guy.
God, that's great. Anything with a mask? Now, I know a lot of people are going to go as President Trump this year, but wearing a mask, that's no fun because the mask always sits on the top of your head.
Yeah.
It seems like.
You're better off trying to maybe get a little bit of a wig and then trying to put on the makeup or something like that to make it match.
Mm. Here's the costume that I pitched my wife, okay? Do you remember a few weeks ago that Ellen DeGeneres was at the Cowboys game?
Yeah, with George Bush.
With George W. Bush. I go, Sarah, let's go as Ellen and George W.
That would be perfect. I would love that.
And I'm Ellen, and she's George W. I go, all you have to do is just get a wig and put on a suit, and you're good. She's like, I don't know. I'm not going to look sexy in it. I go, what do you mean look sexy? Sexy? It's Halloween.
It's George Bush.
Well, I want to look good around the other parents. I go, this will be fantastic.
It'll be hilarious.
I could get white little tennies as Ellen. Ellen's easy.
Yeah.
Right? Get a sweater vest or something and a small blonde wig. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, what does Ellen wear on TV? That's it. That's simple. I don't know. She didn't really want to go for it. In years past, we've done Sonny and Cher and Donnie and Marie.
Oh, that's good.
Which, if you think about, they're both the same costume. But Donnie and Marie, I like that one because Donny Osmond, everybody loves Donny. Some other Halloween costumes this year. Cliff Booth from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's Brad Pitt, by the way.
Yeah.
Wearing a yellow Hawaiian shirt and sunglasses. That would be simple. Enough. Yeah. Everybody's going to be dressed as the Joker this year.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the biggest one. A Tethered from the movie, is it from Us? The Girl in the Red?
I think so.
See, when you have to explain a costume to people, I think it's bad. 77, by the way, our phone number, 312-981-7200. We're getting text messages. What is this red hot? Somebody just sent a picture of a red hot. Are you going as a hot dog person? What does that mean?
Like, I think that's the like Frank's Red Hot Sauce, I think.
So are you going as Red Hot Sauce?
Yeah, Frank's Red Hot Original, that's a hot sauce brand.
Pete, you should go as Mitch Trubisky. Why would I want to do that? I'd get yelled at all night long.
You'd get booed. Like that kid at the United Center. Did you hear about that?
No.
There was a kid at the Blackhawks game about a week ago.
Oh, no.
And they asked him what he wanted to be for Halloween, and he said a football player. And he said, I wanted to be Mitch Trubisky. And the crowd booed him.
How old was the kid?
Maybe 9 or 10.
Oh, no. That's the worst. That's terrible. Pete, best costume I ever wore, burlesque costume I made myself. Did a burlesque dance at midnight. Sexy. My husband went out on the dance floor right after and smashed his guitar, Pinata. He was Buddy Holly. Oh, is that good? I like that a lot. Or you could go as Pete Townsend. Where do you get a guitar pinata? Where do you buy a pinata? I wouldn't even know where to go. You head over to Party City for that? Do they have those?
Yeah, or Dollar Store maybe? I don't know.
Celebrity costumes. Michael, The Good Place. Ted Danson on The Good Place. You watch that show?
I do not.
It's just a checkered suit with a bow tie.
Simple enough.
That's easy. Tom Hanks on vacation. Is that from Instagram? See, again, I don't think people would really understand that. I don't think they'd understand. When you have to explain things to people, Tom Hanks. Hi, I'm Tom Hanks on vacation. The costume consists of a white shirt and swim trunks.
You'll probably have those people, too, that want to dress up like Mike Ditka, like on any typical Bears Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
With the mustache. And
right.
The sweater vest. The sweater vest, all that stuff.
Yeah. Do you have a sweater vest?
I do not.
Okay. Little Nas. Do you know what I'm talking about? The African-American cowboy that has that hit song? I can't even think of it right now. Also, some celebrity costumes. Elton John and Rocket Man. God, that's fantastic. Shirtless metallic bomber look. I think I could pull that off. But the short shorts, that's a bad, bad look for me. Not good at all. How about Hopper from Stranger Things? All you would need is a Hawaiian shirt. Hopper from Stranger Things, a Hawaiian shirt and mustache. That's simple. I could actually do that. I'm going to write that down. Hopper, Stranger Things. Okay. All right. Hold on. Let me do one more before we talk to Cortland here. Nope. Don't like that. Harry Styles at the Met Gala. When you have to explain your costumes, that's not good.
A lot of pop culture stuff.
Well, you want to be current, but you don't want to be too current where people aren't going to understand it.
I want to be like Kim Kardashian at the Met Gala or Harry Styles at the Met Gala. Like, you have to explain that to a lot of people. It's not
going to work. Cortland from ChicagoCostume.com. How are you, brother?
Hey, how's it going, Pete?
Give me your top three adult costumes this year that people are looking at.
Top three? At this point, I would definitely say Riverdale, if you've seen the show. Adam's Family and Chicago Bears, 85 Bears Ditka sweaters are always popular.
Even the Ditka sweaters to this day is still the biggest costume?
Well, you know, this is Chicago, you know.
Right.
What do you want me to say? They're a great item. Everybody knows what it is.
Right.
You know, it's wearable beyond Halloween. So, yeah, they're really popular. We've been selling them all day.
What do you think about the pop culture stuff, like Hopper from Stranger Things, a Hawaiian shirt, and you get a fake mustache?
Yeah, well, so we have the Hopper shirt. You got the mustache, the gun, or whatever. It's good. You know, the dad bod look is definitely in this year as far as costumes are concerned.
Say that again, the dad bod?
Yeah, dad bod, you know, bro Thor and Hopper, you know, the barrel-chested middle-aged man is a thing, you know, it's a style.
Wow, I think I could pull that off.
Man. I don't know.
And this is your Super Bowl right now. You're super busy, but if people still want to come in, what are your
Absolutely.
Hours?
Absolutely. No, we got tons of costumes, two great locations, 1120 West Fullerton, 4727 West Montrose. We're open till 10 o'clock every night through Halloween. And we're very well stocked. We got tons of great stuff.
Love it. And you can go online, chicagocostume.com. Cortland Hickey.
Yes.
Thanks for coming on, brother. We'll talk soon.
Thank you very much, Pete.
All right. It's 720 right. WGN. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Our next guest, you can see him alongside Pat Foley during Blackhawk games. He is a cancer survivor. He has a brand new book out entitled Beating the Odds. He will be signing copies today at the United Center Atrium starting at 4:15 before the game, then hosting the purple carpet ceremony. It's our old friend, Eddie Olczyk. How are you, sir?
Hi, Pete. Nice to be with you. How you doing?
Well, the Bears are winning now, 16 to 10. 16 to 10.
Yeah. Right? Well, as long as the score stays that way, half the cause will be a-okay, right? That's what we're most concerned about.
Eddie, Hamp and OB just came in the studio about 20 minutes ago. I thought OB was just the veins in his neck. I thought one of them was going to pop. He was so upset. Crazy stuff.
Well, make sure you tell him I said hello.
Well, first of all, congratulations on beating cancer. I haven't spoke to you since everything's happened.
Yeah, well, I am very, very lucky. Incredible support. And that was part of my inspiration when I was going through my illness that maybe put my life story together, you know, a young kid growing up here in Chicago, and all he ever wanted to do was to make it to the NHL and play for his hometown team. And, you know, we all have a story. We all have to, you know, overcome adversity and different challenges. And I thought that maybe at the end of the day, if I can inspire somebody with my story, whether it was, you know, my hockey journey or obviously the most important battle of my life was the cancer battle, is that if I can help somebody get through the day, Pete, or bring a little bit of hope to their life, or, you know, maybe love a little bit more if they read the book, then it was well worth the 16 months of pen to paper, and hopefully can inspire one person in this horrible disease, and hopefully we could rid ourselves of it. And again, tonight it's Hockey Fight Cancer Night at the United Center. The league since 1998 has had this initiative, and the Blackhawks, Rocky Wirtz, John McDonough, Jay Blunk, the entire organization does an amazing job of going all out on an event like this. So if people are in the area and they want to come to the purple carpet, we're going to honor cancer survivors, people that are in the middle of the battle, and families that have lost somebody to this horrible disease. So I'm looking forward to emceeing the event. We're going to introduce everybody. Mm-hmm. Adam Burrish is going to be my right winger tonight. I'm playing center. He's going to play right wing, and we're going to bring it to the people tonight. And then the Hawks trying to break this losing streak against the LA Kings tonight. So it's a great night. I'm so honored and humbled to be a part of it. The Blackhawks have been just incredible supporters of mine. I mean, my whole life. But especially in the last couple of years, and to have an employer and bosses that check on you every day and tell you, hey, if you're not feeling good, you know, you let us know when you want to work. And I'll be forever grateful to John McDonough and Jay Blanc for extending that olive branch. And it really helped me get through. And you know, and my wife of 31 years and my kids and my family.
Right.
It really helped me get through, Pete, so it was a team effort for sure.
Well, I love that it's a celebration tonight, Eddie. Were you surprised when you were going through chemo and the whole process with the outpouring of love that you received from everyone here in the city and all over, probably?
Yeah, it was very honoring and humbling. I had enough quiet time in the last me a lifetime, Pete, when I was going through the battle, but that support I had from people that I know very well, people that maybe in passing, the great Blackhawk fans for all their prayers and cards and texts and emails, and for the people that got my phone number that left me messages that I have no idea who they are, but I'm really, really lucky that I did have that support. So was I surprised? I think I was more taken back
But as we know, this disease does not discriminate, and
right.
hopefully the people that know my story can say, hey, if that old broken down hockey player can get the disease and he can beat it, well, then you know what, I can too. And that's kind of the heart of the book, that somebody can be inspired just to get them through the day, because anybody that's in the middle of it, to help them along, and that goes for the caretakers and caregivers as well of the people right. that are in the battle.
You're absolutely right. We're talking to Eddie O. The book is called Beating the Odds. He'll be signing copies today at the United Center atrium, then hosting the purple carpet ceremony. You and I exchanged a few texts as you were going through the process. Yeah. I had the nuns in New York praying for you. My sister is a sister. And you're like, well, when I first sent you, I said, Eddie, I got your back. The nuns are praying. And your first reaction was, what are you talking about?
Well, you know what? You got connections. You're piped in, and look at I needed all the help I could get. Be forever grateful for all those, you know, for all those prayers, and be remiss if I didn't, you know, send that back out to everybody out there that is in a battle or is fighting, and
right.
I'm praying for them, and you know, when I announced in March of last year of 2018 that I was cancer free with the great Pat Foley on our television broadcast, I said, you know, we beat it, we did it, and I could never repay for all the support, but hopefully give it back to, you know, to the community, to people that I know, people that I don't know, and we are all in this thing together, and hopefully someday we could rid ourselves of this horrible disease.
I have four cancer survivors in my family, Eddie, and I ask them about that moment when they hear from the doctor you have cancer, and it changes your life. Tell me about that moment and what happened moving forward.
Yeah. It was August the 4th at 7:07 p.m. of 2017 when I got the call from Dr. Scott Strong, my surgeon over at Northwestern, and telling me that I had the tumor came back, and that I have stage 3 colon cancer, and they're recommending 6 months of chemotherapy, and then we would reassess after that. And, you know, the first thing I thought of, Pete, was, well, you know, how long do I have? I mean, you know, like, is this a death sentence? You know, am I going to be around to, you know, am I going to be around to enjoy my kids and my grandkids and to be able to be around the people that I love? So, I mean, all those things go right. through emotions. And then it's like, okay, well, when you're so-called in the public eye, and you're supposed to be at events or an appearance, or, you know, I missed a horse racing event.
Right.
You know, like at first you want to crawl under a rock, and you feel like you're letting people down, and you're weak. You feel like you're an inconvenience, and just so many emotions. But, you know, I mean, once I realized that I had the disease, it was like, okay, I'm just going to go day to day. I'm going to listen to my doctors. I have incredible support. And, you know, once you get into it, I mean, it really, at least for me, and I talk about it in the book, Pete, it tests your will to live. I mean, it really does. It breaks you down. And there was a time in my second treatment where my side effects were just, I mean, they were brutal. Right. There's no other way to put it. And I'm like, well, how am I going to get through treatment number 2, let alone go through 10 more, and then not know what was on the other side? And, I mean, I was ready to quit, Pete. I was ready to bail. I just was like, I can't live like this. How? I mean, all of a sudden, you just go to the bathroom. Like, you just go to the bathroom, and it takes over your body. And I told my wife, I'm done. I can't do this. And you need that from your loved ones. You need that from your doctor to tell you what you need to know, not what you want to hear. And she told me, you got to fight.
Right.
You know, you got to fight for me, and you got to fight for our kids, and you got to fight for all the people that love you. And I needed that moment. I needed to, you know, because I drifted into oblivion. I mean, that black hole, I just kept drifting in deeper and deeper, and I needed her to pull me out. And look, if I didn't have the support and the love,
right,
I wouldn't be here. I know I wouldn't. I know I'm any. Look, at anybody that gets this disease and fights and battles is tough. There is, please, I don't want anybody out there to feel like you are weak. Initially, you do, and then when you're in the middle of it, it really, it breaks you down. But like for me, I needed that to get pulled back out of that black hole and just focus. And then, Pete, I put my hockey helmet on and
right.
I started chipping away and getting day to day. And okay, I'm going to start setting goals for myself. So, I mean, it is a story. I mean, it's a story and a half. And again, I can't emphasize how much we need to make sure that we are looking out after the caretakers and caregivers of the people that are sick or in the battle, because they're going through a lot as well. I never saw my wife down. I never saw my wife worried. I never saw her weak around me. But I know, just like my friends and my folks and my kids and my brothers, you know, like when they weren't around me, I'm sure they let their guard down and they were worried and they, you know, and they were upset. But,
yep.
You know, we have to look after them too, because they're in it all the time. They may not be going through the physical aspect, but they're going through the mental battle, and that's something that is very important to me and my family, and we want to make sure that we're letting people know and reminding those people of how important they are, and that we need to make sure that we reach out to them and make sure that they're doing okay, even though it is a tough, tough battle.
Eddie, how about the advances that we've made over the years with treating cancer and curing cancer? I mean, it's just incredible what we've seen in the last 5 years. You talk about the last 10 years, but the last 5 years, I feel like we keep doubling ourselves. I mean, we're so close. Most of these cancers, these blood cancers, are highly curable nowadays.
And you had
stage 3 colon cancer. The advances in the research has just been amazing.
Well, look, and that's what this night is about at the United Center, Pete. This is why the National Hockey League, since 1998, has had this, I think, the greatest initiative of the National Hockey League, the Hockey Fights Cancer, and raising over $25 million since 1998. And that's what tonight is about. It is. And the more money we raise for research, the better off as a human race we're going to be in 5 years and in 10 years,
right.
And then for, you know, my kids and just, you know, it's a domino effect. So
yep.
I just think that, you know, you mentioned, you know, the advances and how things have really progressed, and it is so, so important. And whatever you can do, it doesn't even, I mean, sure, the money helps, and it's great to cancer causes or what have you, but it is about the care. It is about the reaching out to the people that are going through a most challenging time, you know, of their life. Look, cancer is always going to be with me. I know that, and I'm okay with that, and I said this before, and in my circle, because we all have one, is that I'm glad I'm the one that got cancer, and I feel now it's my purpose, and I have a platform, and with incredible help from family and friends and obviously the Blackhawks, we can make a difference. Maybe not tonight, maybe not tomorrow, Pete, but maybe we can make a difference for awareness and say, hey, you know what, like I need to get in there and get a colonoscopy, or
yep.
If I'm not feeling well, I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to go get checked out, or you know what, yeah, I'm going to be proactive, or just help get somebody through the day. So it's a long, long-term goal. It's a long-term process, but we're in it. The sleeves are up, the gloves are on, and it's going to be a battle for all of us for hopefully not for too long, but for many, many years, is that we got to continue to fight for the people that we love and the people that we know and for the people that we don't know.
Eddie O, isn't it interesting how God just gives us something? I mean, here you are, you get cancer, and the next thing you know, you're the platform guy. You are now the NHL Cancer Ambassador. You're going to be hosting the Purple Carpet tonight. I mean, God works in mysterious ways, doesn't
he? Yeah. I'm very honored and humbled that the league would ask me to be a part of this and to be their ambassador this year. And it's I was in New York a couple weeks ago, Pete, and doing a bunch of stuff for the league, and again, just about awareness and sharing my story and just really kind of being an official spokesperson on behalf of the league. And I'm very, very proud and honored and humbled that the league would look at me in that light. And again, it's just another opportunity with my platform and the opportunities that I have publicly, like being on your show today on WGN, and just to talk to somebody out there, and again, just to get somebody's attention. Because look, especially for colon cancer, it's been proven over the years, it's like, people will say, man, it won't happen to me, and I'm gonna put it off, I'm gonna keep putting off the medical procedure to go and get checked out, to have the colonoscopy. And all of a sudden, you're 3, 4, 5 years after the fact when it's recommended. Here's the reality, Pete, is that when I was sick, the recommended age medically to have a colonoscopy was 50 in the United States, or in North America, I should say. It was 50.
Yep.
Since September of 2017, in between that time and now, they have lowered the recommended age for a colonoscopy to 45 is the recommended age. So obviously the numbers are up, which is scary, but we need to make sure we continue to spread the word. And anybody's out there, look, you got to get in there and get checked out. I would rather have you have a rough day or two with going to the bathroom and then going to have the procedure.
Yep.
But I would rather have you do that than have to go through 6 months of hell like I did, or somebody else out there that puts off the procedure or doesn't think it's going to happen to them, because as I said earlier, cancer does not discriminate.
Beating the Odds is the name of the book today. Signing copies at the United Center Atrium, hosting the Purple Carpet Ceremony. Eddie Old, God bless you, brother. It's great to hear your voice.
Thanks, Pete. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. That is Eddie O, everybody. It's 720 WGN.
For Pete's sake, because it points out things that make you shake your head and say, for Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake. We're going to run through a few stories. By the way, Chance the Rapper, how likable is this guy? I mean, I didn't know anything about him a few years ago, and now I absolutely love him. He hosted Saturday Night Live, and he mentioned Chicago. And by the way, he walked out on stage during the monologue to start the show wearing a red CTU, Chicago's Teachers Union, sweatshirt. Here he is.
I'm Chance the Rapper. And it is so great to be back here at SNL. If you don't remember, last time I was here, I gave $1 million to Chicago Public Schools. And I'm happy to say it completely fixed everything. Now, honestly, to the teachers in Chicago, I know you guys are on strike right now. I fully support you. I just wish that when I was in school, my teachers had gone on a strike. Like, for real, though.
But for real, he did a great job last night. Very likable guy, Chance the Rapper. And he sang in the monologue, and he did two songs during the show. I think it was a huge success. Halloween is this week. That's when people pull out the scary movies. Are you a scary movie guy, Curtis?
Yeah, a little bit.
Hate them. Absolutely hate the scary movies. Redbox.com released their top five list of the scariest movies of all time. At number five, Nightmare on Elm Street. Scary. Yeah, not bad. Number four, The Exorcist. So scary.
That one didn't get to me that much.
What?
Yeah.
To this day, it scares me.
Doesn't
when I
really?
Think about the scenes, the bedroom scene with the deep voice and she's talking to the priest, how does that not scare you?
I don't know. I don't know. It just doesn't freak me out that much.
Boy, The Exorcist freaked me out. Number three, Halloween.
Yeah. That one's a classic, though. That one's kind of set the standard, I think.
Number two, A Quiet Place.
More recent one.
Yeah, it is. And the scariest movie of all time, according to Redbox.com, is The Shining.
That one freaked me out.
That one freaks everybody out.
Yeah.
I want to say I was in seventh grade when I saw that. My brother and his friends were watching it in the basement. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to sleep for a month.
I think I saw it at like a Halloween party like sophomore year of high school.
Hate it. I mean, I hate it, but I like it, but I hate it, if that makes sense. The twins, the red rum, the blood, Jack Nicholson trying to break into the bathroom with an axe. How old were you when you first saw your first scary movie?
Probably 12 or 13.
The average American sees their first scary movie at the age of 10.
Wow.
That's about right. Fifth grade. That was for me. I want to say it was Exorcist. My sister was watching it with her friends. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst movie ever. It was just terrible. Rough stuff. Kmart in Australia is removing a costume after backlash. Kmart Australia has pulled a children's bride costumes from its shelves after a Melbourne mom launched a petition calling the costume beyond inappropriate. It's a $6 costume, which included a white wedding gown and headband with veil for children between the ages of 4 and 6. They pulled it off the shelves this week. Are we becoming too sensitive? Or is that just a weird costume to have for a 4 to 6 year old? I don't know. 312-981-7200. You tell me. I have text messages in front of me. I'm looking at them right now. What is the number one selling Halloween candy this year? Take a guess.
M&M's?
M&M's at number 2.
Ooh, okay.
Take another guess.
Hershey's.
Hershey's at number 4.
Okay.
Classic Hershey bar.
Yeah.
By the way. Okay. What else do you have?
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, number 1. Very good.
Nice.
At number 5, Kit Kat. Number 4, Hershey's. Number 3, Snickers. Number 2, M&M's. Number 1, the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Selling $500 million. It's been around since 1928.
Are you a big bar person when you do candy for trick-or-treating?
You know, you're the second person at this radio station that asked me that.
Really?
I don't know where you buy the big bars. And I don't think I would do that because I don't want...
You can get in bulk at like Target or wherever.
Really?
Yeah, you can get like a box of like 40.
I was at Costco and they were selling about 100 million candy bars for $10 in a bag. You know, the small mini ones. It's like, I don't want that much candy. I can't have that much candy at my house because my wife bought candy 2.5 weeks ago. We ate most of it. Now we got to go back. I don't need that stuff in my house.
Not to mention when after Halloween's over, it all goes on clearance.
Yeah. And then you just keep buying it. And then your kid, I have a 14-year-old. He may trick-or-treat this year. Maybe not. We're still talking about it. He doesn't know.
Still goes well for school lunches.
Oh. We got to get it out of the house. No, we got to get out of the house. Can't. And I don't want to be the big candy bar house because I remember, can't remember the family's name, but they were on the corner of 12 Oaks and Hudson in Peoria, and they had the big candy bars. Big. Everybody used to go there. They were known as the big candy bar house.
One of my neighbors during like one of the colder Halloweens, they had hot cider and hot dogs instead of candy for trick-or-treating.
Hot cider and hot dogs?
Yeah.
I don't know. Kids want candy.
Yeah, but it's a nice little mix-up of things.
My brother is a dentist. He gives out mini candy bars and toothbrushes.
He's that guy.
Yes, he is that guy. He gives away toothbrushes and the mini candy bars. Well, he got a brush. Don't forget the floss. Maybe a little thing of floss, too, next year, Steve. That would be nice. What's your favorite candy bar of all time?
I'm a big Snickers fan.
I don't understand the Snickers. Snickers is too much work, and the caramel gets caught in your teeth. Why do you like it so much?
I like the mixture of peanuts. I like the caramel. The chocolate's good. I'm also a big fan of Milky Ways. Milky Ways are good, just the chocolate.
Nobody likes the Milky Way.
I will gladly
That is the poor man's Snickers.
I will gladly take your Milky Ways.
For real?
Yeah.
I don't really understand.
Or Baby Ruth's.
What is the Milky Way? It's like the milk, it's the nougat, right?
The nougat and then
nobody knows what nougat is. We just know the name. What is nougat?
Find the chemical composition.
What is nougat? And who invented nougat? What is nougat? I'm going to tell you right now. The Almond Joy, I've said it once, I've said it a million times on this radio station, is the greatest candy bar on the planet because you get almonds, you get coconut, you get chocolate.
I hate coconut.
And you get joy.
I hate coconut. No, you don't get
yes,
joy.
Yes, you get
coconut
joy.
Coconut takes away the joy.
Why do you hate coconut? Nobody hates coconut.
312-917-8200.
There is a ton of people that hate coconut. I don't understand why people hate coconut. I just don't get it. It's really not that. It's like a sugary taste.
The texture throws me off.
Do you like mushrooms?
I do.
Okay. That's interesting. Most people that have a problem with texture don't like mushrooms. Love the almond joy. I'll eat a Mounds, almond joy, whatever you have. Boy, that almond with the coconut and the chocolate. Oh, it's wonderful. I could probably down 45 of those minis on Halloween. This is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to load up on the Almond Joy mini bars, and I'm going to come to work. I work Thursday night at 10 o'clock and just go into a candy coma. You get to a point on Halloween where you just can't eat any more candy.
Yeah, you're just done with it.
It's just terrible.
I feel like I should have a salad at some point.
Yes, I'm done. I've fed 50 candy bars. Can you bring me a salad, please? With some ranch dressing. Yeah, that would be nice. Let's see. Is that 773 area code? In a number of communities, it is illegal for anyone over 12 to trick or treat. Interesting that you say that. In Chesapeake, Virginia, kids older than 12 years old caught trick or treating could be slapped with a misdemeanor as a way to curb mischief on the spooky holiday. As a harsh punishment,
yeah.
The city just voted to reduce the penalty prior to them loosening the rules this year. Costumes kids older than 14 caught begging for candy could be faced with a fine. Chesapeake, Virginia. When did you quit trick-or-treating? How old?
Probably about 14, 13, 14.
Yeah. That's about the age.
And I just started going to more Halloween parties with friends and stuff like that.
You live in the city now.
I do, yes.
I think trick-or-treating is from 4 to 6. It's a two-hour window.
Yeah, but I'm in an apartment complex, and they have, like, on actual Halloween, they'll have, like, a big trick-or-treating sort of thing happening in the afternoon. They don't really have kids go from floor to floor to door to door.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, if the teacher strike is going on, but most kids are done at 3 o'clock. So they got to rush home from school. They got to put on their costume and trick or treat from 4 to 6.
Unless they went to school in their costume, like if they had like Halloween parties.
Okay.
You know, then they just get off the bus and start.
That makes sense. But I hate when people show up at my house like it's 7:30. Lights off, we're out of candy. You get the bang on the door, the ring in the doorbell. It's like, dude, we're out of candy. You go home, go study. You got a test tomorrow. Huh? Get out of my face. Get out. Are you carving pumpkins this year? We haven't carved a pumpkin now that I think about it.
No, I didn't carve one either this year.
We need to do that at the McMurray house. I got to talk to my wife about that. We haven't even bought a pumpkin.
I don't have one in my apartment either.
Well, you're a single dude. Yeah, I mean, I'm a family with a kid. And I get trick-or-treaters on my block.
That's true.
Yeah.
Decorate a little bit.
We got to carve it up. Love carving the pumpkin. Then taking the seeds and throwing them in the oven.
Yeah, roasting them. That's the best.
It's so good. What is it? Just salt you put on there?
Yeah, just a little bit of table salt.
God, that's wonderful. It's great stuff. Wow. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios coming up after the game. Of course, coming up at 3 o'clock, you got Hamp and OB with Kaz. The Bears are losing 17-16. There's only a few minutes left in this game. This isn't good. The fact that it's coming down to the wire, Chargers have the ball right now, it's just terrible. Jimmy, you're on WGN. What's up, bud?
Hey, Pete, I heard you were talking about trick-or-treating
yes.
in schools. A school in my neighborhood where I'm at is, has an 11 o'clock dismissal on Halloween Day, and trick-or-treating goes 3 to 7. Does that make sense for you guys or what?
It does not make any sense. Why would they get off at 11 in the morning?
Well, maybe because of trick-or-treating, you know. I was thinking about that, and it occurred to me that maybe just for police protection and kid protection, have all the kids out of school, let them be 3 to 7, and it's easier for the police to directly deal with traffic. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but that would be my guess.
And where do you live?
Sager, Pete.
Sager? Where is that located?
By Chicago Heights, Creed, out in the south suburbs.
Got it. Okay. Down south. Love it. Jimmy, thanks for calling. Have a great Sunday.
You too, guys. And Bears lose. Yay.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, Hamp and OB are wound up right now. The Bears, they're pushing the ball down the field. They're making a run here. I don't know. That's interesting. Why would you let kids out at 11 in the morning when they can't start trick-or-treating until 3? And you have kids that are going to start early anyway. That drives me nuts.
When they start early.
And who's home at 3 in the afternoon to give candy? Who's home?
Not me.
Most parents, both parents are working now. There's two parents working in our household. My wife and I both work. We're not going to be home at 3. My son won't be home from school at 3 o'clock. He won't be home until 4.
And you can't really leave a bowl out there saying, like, take 2 or whatever, because you know there's going to be those kids that take 2 handfuls instead of 2 individual pieces.
My wife does that every year when we're not home. It's funny that you say that. We have a big bowl of candy, and she left it out there, and within 10 minutes, there was a kid that took the entire bowl. So she starts walking down the street. Who took the candy? You need to put it back. I'm like, Sarah, we got enough here. Everything's fine. You can't start yelling at kids. There's some kid. I mean, look at the kids' bags. They just started trick-or-treating.
Yeah, when I would go, I'd have a pillowcase.
Right. The one that has the heaviest bag has all our candy.
Yeah.
What are you going to do once you catch him?
And you trade.
And then he tells his parents, and there's this whole deal. It's just not worth it to me. And then the kids start screaming, oh my gosh, they're in my face right now. See, I don't need the agony. That's why most people don't even like to open their doors. That's too bad. Halloween party in the morning, dismissal, teacher meetings. Okay. Thank you, 708. Dismissal for teacher meetings. Okay. Why would they do teacher meetings on Halloween? Just to get the kids out? 773 area code. Oh, Henry bars are one of the best, but they're not available anymore in the United States. The old Henry bar was Henry Aaron, right? Henry Aaron played in the 70s. That bar's been gone for a while. Okay. Let's move on from talking candy. How old is too old an age gap to get married? What would you say? 20 years? 20 years seems like the cutoff to me.
I'd say 18.
18 years? 18 to 20 years.
Yeah.
Dennis Quaid is engaged to his girlfriend. Dennis Quaid is 65. His girlfriend, Laura, is 26. What are they going to talk about? What's the common factor here? You got to have something in common to talk. All right, maybe you both work out, but I don't really understand it. Do you enjoy the same music?
Like 39 age.
Come on, Pete. Different. Loves love. 65, 26. There's something a little creepy about that. And he's got a son with Meg Ryan. Jack is around that age. Could you date a person the same age as your son or daughter? That just doesn't seem right to me. That seems a little off. So Dennis Quaid is engaged. Congratulations, Dennis. 65. His girlfriend, 26. All right. Jesse Pinkman resumed his ride in El Camino Breaking Bad. The movie was on Netflix. How many Breaking Bad fans do we have here? I watched the series. I absolutely loved the series. I was pumped to see El Camino. We had Old Joe on the show last week. It was fun to talk to Old Joe. You can find that podcast on WGNradio.com under my name, Pete McMurray. 25 million households have watched El Camino Breaking Bad so far. Have you watched it?
Not yet. I've been wanting to. I've been kind of waiting to see what the reports are from different people who have reviewed it. And majority from what I've seen so far have said that it's pretty good. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I know it had a lot of hype around it, too.
It picks up right where the series left off.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So Walter White, supposedly dead. I still don't believe it. I believe he's going to come back. And Aaron Paul, who plays Jesse Pinkman, is trying to get out of town. And that's the movie. He's trying to get out of town. Aaron Paul is so good in this role. I mean, if you're a Breaking Bad fan, you're going to enjoy the movie. Yeah. I loved it. I really liked it a lot.
I'm excited for it.
And the old characters come back, and there's a scene with Jesse and Walter White that has been reshot. It wasn't a flashback scene.
I heard about this.
So it's kind of cool. It's like, wait a second. Is that a flashback? Or did they just film this? What's going on here?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's fun to see the old characters, and even though it's super serious, and Jesse's trying to get out of town, and people are trying to kill him, the humor that's in there, the dark humor.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's just wonderful.
That whole show had dark humor all over it. It
right.
was awesome.
Even during the murders,
yeah.
there was dark humor. It's so weird.
Yeah.
And do you watch Better Call Saul?
I have, yeah.
The chicken guy is now on Better Call Saul.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So it was like the prequel going on right now.
It's wild how they all link that together.
And you know what? These shows, here's the problem with these shows. Better Call Saul goes away, and then it comes back. It's like, oh my God, I where do I pick up? I can't remember what I watched. That's the problem. Because they go away for a year, and then they come back. It drives me nuts. It's rough stuff. El Camino Breaking Bad, 25 million plus. It's only been out for 1 month. To be specific, 25.7 million people. That's just awesome. By the way, one of the best shows that I'm watching right now, one of the best shows is Succession on HBO. It's about a very wealthy family. The father is running the business, a private company, and he's losing his mind, and his kids are trying to take over the company.
I don't mean to interrupt, but
yes.
It looks like Eddie Pinero is going to try to kick a game-winning field goal.
Oh, no.
4 seconds left on the clock.
Oh, boy.
17-16.
Uh-oh. All right.
41-yard attempt.
Are they going to call a timeout here? Because I got to go into commercials.
It looks like they're all out of timeouts.
Okay. Here it is. This is ending the show. Eddie is... Oh, my gosh. He missed it. He missed the game winner.
Oh, no.
No. Bears lose 17-16. Eddie Pinheiro misses. We got the post game coming up next with Hamp and OB and Kaz.